WNYU, New York.
Here from the Democratic candidate for president of 1968, Senator from Minnesota, Eugene McCarthy.
All right. We say to you that this is only my second stop in an effort to give not really support, but to lend another presence to this public testimonial on the part of the people of the country against the war in Vietnam. We have worked through all what are said to be the processes by which policy can be influenced in this country. In 1966 and 67, we tried to speak to presidents of the United States to say to them that the policy was unwise and that simply looking at what was happening should be enough to influence anyone to change policy. Failing in that, with your help, we went to the people of the country in the primaries in 1968. At every place that we had the fair and open test, those who voted in the primaries in New York and in other states indicated that they wanted the policy of this country to be changed. Well, after the election was over, the president assumed that he was free to set policy as he wished, and only recently said that he would not be the first president to preside over what he called a military defeat. Well, no one is asking him to preside over anything. We would like to let him allow peace to come in Vietnam without presiding. And our effort in the Congress, and I think what may come out of these moratorium rallies around the land, is to indicate to the president that he can quite freely make decent judgments about that war and not be held responsible by the people of this country. And in fact, he may get some historical credit. And we're quite willing to give him that credit. I think it's been the hope of most of us who saw the election turn out as it did that Mr. Nixon might be more free to do something about Vietnam than Democrats who were running and who felt burdened with past policy. We've been disappointed. President Johnson used to say that he was simply carrying out a policy which had been endorsed by three previous presidents. Mr. Nixon now says he's carrying out a policy which was endorsed by four previous presidents. Well, I think the time has come to break off that line if we can. And I know of no better way than the method which is being used here today. Well, that seems to be the policy they'd like to have become effective. Unhappy with the people, unhappy with protest. But I think the better way for us to work and the better direction is, if we can't dissolve the government, at least to bring about a change in its policy. And so we carry on. We carry on from this 15th of October to the 15th and 16th of November. And as long as we have to, by all means available, to bring about that change and to set America right and to become the kind of influence in the world that I think we were intended to be. Thank you all, and carry on now.
Heard from the Democratic candidate for the presidency of 1968, Senator Eugene McCarthy, who, as you can hear, has gotten a very warm, enthusiastic reception for his remarks and his appearance. As we noted earlier, other speakers, the senators of New York, and also the mayor of New York, are scheduled to speak. We now return to the podium.
Also a testimonial to the position that we have. At 8 o'clock tonight, At 8 o'clock tonight, there will be a rally and concert for Biafra at Philharmonic Hall, and Senator McCarthy will address that. We must not forget that there are millions of us involved today in the moratorium, largely because of those smaller groups who for the entire length of the war have sacrificed, have been imprisoned, have picketed, have donated time and money. They've gone to trial, they've written letters, they've marched at the Pentagon and brought this issue to the forefront of the American conscience. If there were a list made of all the people whose actions and words have brought us here today, clearly high at the top of that list would be our next speaker, the Reverend William Sloan Coffin.
Peace, peace, brothers and sisters, peace. As you all know, in recent days, the President, the Vice President, and the Secretary of State have all pleaded with us to close ranks behind the President. But that is asking a lot. For how can people close ranks behind their leader when they are so far out ahead of them? Doesn't he rather push on ahead a little faster? Now, it's not that we don't need a president. A vice president? Yes, even a vice president. Although I hope Senator McCarthy and Senator Goodell and Senator Javits might introduce legislation making it mandatory for the vice president to accompany the president whenever he flies anywhere. But if we need our leaders, we must also remember that those furthest from the seat of power are often nearest to the heart of the truth. And as far as the moratorium and all you youth, lasses and laddies I see down here, St. Benedict was right. God often reveals what is better to the younger. Now, President Nixon seems tragically to be making Republican responsibilities out of Democratic mistakes. He seems to want to say, as did his predecessor, we have met the enemy and they are ours. But we, I assume, are here because we say we have met the enemy and the enemy is us. We now call our enemies those who once in 1945 were our friends, and in 1969 we still could have regarded them as our friends had we only seen the truth. Mayor Lindsay's day of mourning should also be a day of confession. We need to confess that we have intervened massively, militarily, and unilaterally in the civil affairs of another country. After all, how many Vietnamese fought in our civil war? Then we need to confess that despite the blood of now 44,000 American dead, despite the billions of dollars of aid, despite the heroic labor of many dedicated Americans, we are now supporting a government in Saigon which is incapable of finding support among its own people. It is a government that has nothing to win and everything to lose from the Paris peace talks. Let us not forget it was Saigon. It was Saigon, not Hanoi, that failed to show up at the peace table. And it is you and not the NLF that refuses a coalition government. Why then did the president call him one of the four or five greatest leaders in the world today, when in fact President Hugh should be rewarded, along with General Hersey, with retirement into a richly deserved obscurity? Now we need also confess, and this is hard, that we have waged this war in a fashion so out of keeping with basic instincts for decency as seriously to undermine them. We have forcibly displaced millions of persons, we have rained terror from the skies, and the unpublicized horror of our present Phoenix program vastly exceeds the well-known terror of the NLF. In Quang Tin province alone, between January and April 1969, American-trained agents executed 239 South Vietnamese without trial, and captured 153 who will now probably be held 2 years without a trial. But let us be clear. The fault does not lie with the infantrymen, the bomber pilots, the Green Berets, our boys in Vietnam. The fault lies with our men in Washington. What all of us need to recognize and need most to confess is that violence in its cruelest form is not individual and haphazard, but bureaucratic and efficient and aseptic and profitable. It is not blue collar or no collar, it is white collar. The truly violent ones are not the mugging drug addicts who live in slum tenements in this city, but those who live in pentagonal palaces, in the Ling Tower and other houses at weapons fields. All these who never see blood, unless the secretary suffers a nosebleed. Our nation, our citadel of freedom, is being conquered by our own warfare industry. All this begs confession, and all of us need to confess. For while not all are guilty, in a democracy, all are responsible, and that's why I'm sure we all are here. And so it is, Mr. Nixon, we cannot, we will not close ranks behind you, for truth is our authority, not authority our truth. We cannot, we will not cheer, nor will we stand silently by while South Vietnamese people are persecuted by a government so rotten that it would fall in a week, unpropped by American power. And as for ourselves and the rightness of this moratorium, we can only say that silence becomes treason when good Americans die bravely in a bad cause. And so we pledge ourselves here today and in Washington on November 15th to continue constructive, consistent, clear dissent that seeks only to grant Vietnamese a genuine chance for peace, that seeks only to recall immediately all our sons from Vietnam and thereby to recall all our people to their senses. Thank you very much.